Hey there, folks. Fritz Berger at bloodandfaith.com. It is the 24th of September, 2020. I am back in Colorado for a few more days. It's been quite an adventurous summer. I and my personal life. I got to say that the thing I probably enjoy most of everything I do besides my family is doing what I do with my writing on my blog and then these podcasts. It means everything to me. And when I finally wind up my salaried career, this is what I will be doing. So you won't get rid of me that quick. So I was at the doctor the other day, annual checkup, wellness check, had all my blood work done. And the doctor said, so Fritz, when was your last colonoscopy? And you know you're no longer a young man when the doctor asks you, when's your next colonoscopy going to happen? And, in the brain, we think we're young. And the body feels okay. But you know what? Everything marches on. Time marches on. No man, no woman has an unlimited clock. Every day that clock runs out. Every day there's just a little bit less time in there, and the faster, the older you get, the faster it goes. And those of you that are young have heard this from your parents and your grandparents, so you know it's true intellectually. Those of you that are older know it's true because you've lived it. And you live day by day, and you think, I've got an unlimited amount of time left. Yet logically, you know that you don't. You know that the day's going to come when you're not going to wake up. The day's going to come when that's going to be it. Day is going to come when the master calls you home. And that's true for all of us. That's true for all human beings. That's true for the Christian and the non-Christian. That's true for the believer and the atheist. And, when I spend time with my kids, and none of them are little kids anymore, but I still talk to them because I'm their dad, and I just tell them, listen, have fun in life. Go enjoy yourself. Have fun. But always keep an eye on the end game. Always keep an eye on the day of your death. Always keep an eye on the judgment day. And, do what you need to do and have fun and be fulfilled. Have adventure. Go live your life. But keep an eye on the judgment day. And now that I think about it, there's a Proverbs. It's the Ecclesiastes that refers to this. Young men, enjoy the days of your youth, but know that all things will come to account for the master. So it's just a little something to keep in mind for everybody. I probably need to talk about this more, but judgment is built into life. It's everything that we do, we make judgments. And I know I've had more than one Christian tell me, judge not lest you be judged. And you just, the intellectual depth of that statement is extremely shallow. Because when they say that to me, are they not judging me in that same very sentence? Of course they are. And yes, I know that Jesus Christ said, judge not lest you be judged. But Jesus judged all the time. Jesus made judgments every day. Have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have you not read the words of the master? Have you not read what he said when he looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and warned them to warn them of hell? He's the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. You cannot go through life and not judge. You cannot fail to judge yourself, and you cannot fail to judge others. It's built into the marrow of who we are as human beings. Judgment is inescapable. It's unavoidable. You will judge. You must judge to have a healthy, normal life. The only person that can't judge is, not even the dead judge. Even the dead will judge you when you show up to the other side, and they will judge you. Judgment is built into the marrow of who we are as human beings. I don't care if you're from Africa, Italy, or Antarctica. Judgment is built in. You meet a friend, well, I don't like him. You see somebody in the street, I don't like what they're wearing. You see somebody else, I like them. Oh, and then you become a parent. And by God, you judge. By God Almighty, I judge anybody that's around my children, especially when they're younger. You don't think I judge who they're hanging out with? You don't think I judge the adults that might be around my kids? Older kids that are around my kids? You better believe I do. You better believe I do. I am making judgments every day for the welfare of my children. And I judge people. And I had words with my late mother on a certain judgment I made about a young man. And she scolded me. She had a different opinion. And I told her, I said, listen, there's only one person on earth responsible for the safety of my kids. And that's me and their mother. That's it. Okay, you're not, he's not, nobody else is. By God Almighty, I will make judgments on who my kids hang around with. And I've made a decision that this is not the person they're going to hang around with. I don't care whose feelings that hurts. So my point is, you know that the judgment is part of life. And my point is that nobody will show up the judgment day and say, oh, I didn't know I was going to be judged. The things that God has for us are so... Life is built in such a way that what we're going to be judged on is obvious. Nobody's going to show up at the judgment day and say, I didn't know. You're going to look through everything in your life and all the judgments that you made that we make every single day, every single hour, and we are going to know that we are judged and we're going to be judged. So it's built into who we are. There's going to be no surprises. There's going to be no surprises at the judgment. Nobody's going to show up and say, gee, God, I didn't realize this. No, you're going to know. You're going to know exactly what you're going to be judged on and why you're going to be judged. And you're going to look back on your life you're going to know. You're going to know. And there is a judgment day. There is a judgment day. There's absolutely a judgment day. And the evidence that I'm presenting to you for a judgment day is the fact that every day of your life you make judgments, and you must make judgments. You have to make judgments to live a healthy, healthy, that's a good word, healthy, whole, and normal life. You got to make judgments about different people and different actions and your own, your friends, your spouses, your children, your parents, whoever it is. So when you stand on the judgment day, you're not going to say, gee, I had no idea I was going to be judged. I didn't know I was going to be judged. Of course you knew. You make judgments every day. Why wouldn't you be judged? It's built into who we are. The other thing I want to say about the judgment day is I was talking to one of my children recently. And, you know, we're all called to do things in life. We're all called to do certain things. And there's the general things that we're called to do, and there's the specific things that we're called to do. The general things we're supposed to be doing are you grow up, you get married, and you raise a family. And growing up is hard. Getting married is pleasant for the moment. And then you start raising a family and going through 10, 20, 30, 40 years of joy, struggle, sorrow, happiness, pain, and an incredible amount of enrichment as you're married and raising your children. Incredible amount of enrichment that can't be explained to those that don't have kids. And when you get married, it changes you because now your life isn't about yourself. You got to, every decision you make has to take into consideration this other person. And if you think that's drastic, have a kid. Everything you do now, forget your spouse, it now revolves around taking care of that kid, the kid that's 6 months old. Yeah, you can't sleep tonight. Guess what? Welcome to fatherhood. Welcome to motherhood. Have two kids, have three kids, have four kids. Little hint out there for anybody that wants to have kids. The first two are the hardest. After that, it's easier. I have four. First one was, oh my God, earthquake. Second one was really hard. Third one, easier. Fourth one, didn't notice the difference. So don't stop at two. You know, have three or four or five. Or it gets easier. It gets easier. And it's incredibly enriching. Incredibly enriching. When you have children, you know, this is back to the judgment day. It's not hard to figure this stuff out. Creation was created with a pattern in mind. As you grow up and get married and raise a family, you are changed as a human being. It changes you. You live no longer for yourself, but you live for everybody but yourself. And if you don't do that, you're going to be absolutely miserable. You either allow yourself to die as you give up all your wants and hopes and dreams and desires and pour your life into those children and your family, or you're going to be miserable. Or you're going to be absolutely miserable. And this is available to the Christian and the non-Christian alike. In a way, it's non-optional. I mean, you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to raise a family. That's what you're called to do. That's the number one thing you're called to do. Now, I realize some people out there may not be called to get married, raise a family, but 99.99% of you were. And it changes who you are as a human being, and you become so much more merciful, so much more selfless. And it also forces you to man up to your responsibilities. As a father, I cannot stand back and say, this isn't my responsibility. I have a responsibility to judge. By God, do I have a responsibility to judge? I have a responsibility to look out for my kids and make a determination of what's best for their welfare. Teenagers aren't that bright, guys. We've been there, we've done that. We need guidance. We need guidance when we're teenagers. And sometimes dad needs to step in and say, I love you, son, I love you, daughter, but this is problematic. And it's not problematic for me, it's going to be problematic for you. And sometimes it's just a gentle touch, a gentle nudge that gets you there. But you have to take that responsibility seriously. You are responsible as the parent, as the adult, as the father especially. You are responsible to step in and make that judgment call and provide that guidance, even though you know they're not going to like it. You're responsible for that. And that changes who you are as well, makes you vastly more mature. And again, this is why the Bible talks about leaders in the church. It says they're going to be a leader. They got to be married and they got to have kids. You got to know the struggle it is to go through that stuff and the temperance that produces, the wisdom that it produces, the patience it produces, the maturity it produces, and the wisdom and the judgment that you develop through that stuff. Nothing comes through life easy. Nothing comes through life cheap. Every man wants big muscles, but nobody wants to go to the weight room and work out. Are you right with God? Are you right with your maker? Have you asked him? Have you asked him? Have you prayed? Say, God, am I right with you? What do I need to do? Have you asked him? Don't ask me. How would I know if you're right with God? Let me ask you, are you right with God? Have you asked him? Have you asked God? Well, I don't believe in God. Well, that's probably clue number one right there. So there's this guy, his name is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, take your pick. Bible says that the devil believes in God and trembles. He's terrified of God. He believes in God. Satan himself believes in God. The issue is, you know, who's Lord? Who's Lord? What Satan desires is an existence without being accountable to the Almighty. That's what he yearns for. That's what he wants. He wants to be equal with God. God, thanks for creating me. See ya. I'm going to go do my own thing. That's what he wants. He wants to be not accountable to his creator. And, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, feel the same way. I mean, who wants to be accountable? Who wants to be held accountable? But those are things that have to be embraced and not to flee from those things. And the first step towards that accountability is you've got to believe in God. Make a choice. I believe in God. Make a choice. Say, well, God, you know, God has to prove to me that he exists. No, he doesn't have to do anything for you. He doesn't have to prove that you exist. It's your job to humble yourself before the Almighty. Imagine a couple ants talking. Little ant talks to this other little ant. And one little ant says, hey, man, there's this thing called the ocean. It's really big and huge. And whales live in it. And fish. And the water is salty. And the other ant looks at him and says, man, you're smoking crack. What kind of drugs are you on? Are you insane? What ocean? We live in a sand sea. All I see is for my whole life. I've been walking around for 14 days. And there's sand everywhere. There's no such thing as an ocean. You're out of your freaking mind. There's no evidence whatsoever of an ocean existing ever in the history of ant kind. And the other ant says, no, but really, there is such a thing as an ocean. And when, you know, human beings say God doesn't exist, it's just like that ant saying there's no such thing as an ocean. You and I are not in a place where we have the capacity to judge whether or not God exists. We simply are not. We are finite. We are so finite compared to God, we're less than the ants are to us. And you're going to have to accept by faith the existence of your Creator. That's step one in humility. Because when you do that, you're kind of saying, yeah, he made me. I'm accountable to him. It kind of goes together. And the atheist says, I'm not accountable to God. Satan believes in God, but he's made his decision that he's not going to serve God. That's a whole other issue. And if that's the case, you know, good luck. Have a great life. I hope you have everybody's going to make their choices. So I got no issue with that. But if you want to know if you're right with God, you know, do you believe in God? That's step number one, because there's a certain amount of humility that comes when you acknowledge that God exists and he's your creator. Because then you're essentially acknowledging that you're responsible to him. You're accountable for him and that there will be a judgment day. God's not your co-equal. He's not your equal. He's your master. He's your maker. He's your creator. Any conception of God that's different than that is, kind of a Hinduism or a Eastern Orientalism, where it's just, you know, we're all one with the trees, we're one with the grass, we're one with the rocks. You know, that's kind of what Satan wants. You know, oh yeah, I believe in God, but you know, he's doing his thing and I'm doing mine. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? How do you know if you're right with God? Go ask him. Go ask him. Don't ask me. Ask him. And then the other thing I'll say is, I've talked about this many times, but we've all gone through life. You know, those of us that have gone to the university, we're so smart, we're so educated, we know so much, and we're so full of wisdom, so we say. But really, we've been taught by different religious leaders. These are religious leaders, that the university professors are the priests and the prophets of a religion. And part of the religion, do pardon me on this, I shall cover up. I may have to edit this just for that. Part of that religion is it's not a religion, it's just the truth. And you can go back to every civilization that's ever existed on the face of the earth, and at the peak of the religion, nobody questioned anything. You go back to the ancient Egyptians, where their disemboweling birds and reading the entrails. That wasn't a religion. That was just fact. That was just science. Europe, 1000 BC, God Almighty and Jesus Christ and Mary, that's just the fact. That's not religion. That's just the way it is. And today in 2020, we are drawing to the close of an era of atheism. And we're going to see lots of things that emerge out of that. I hope one of the things is a renewed faith in Jesus Christ. I hope that's true. My job is to make that happen. But people are kind of done with the whole atheism thing. In my opinion, this is getting beyond. This is my speculation, and you see it in little ways. Whether it's a turn to the occult, I mean, Madonna comes to mind. All right, here's a good little Italian Catholic girl that grows up, rejects everything about God, and becomes sort of a loose woman and doing her thing. And eventually she turns to the Kabbalah, which is a Jewish Luciferian type of system. But it is not, it certainly isn't Jesus Christ. Which is sad because she left the faith of her fathers and ended up doing something that she need not do. But, you know, you go down a path, a certain place and path, and you make your decisions, and it becomes hard to change. There's a song when I was growing up, listened to a lot as a teenager. There are two paths you can go on, but you can still change the path that you're on. Pink Floyd, I can't remember. You know, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think if you're thinking about it, it's true for you. If you're thinking about it, it's true for you because you're thinking about it. But I think for other people, they just a certain point comes and they just never think about it again. And their time is over. It's a misconception to think that we have all the time in the world. It's a misconception to think that we can repent and believe in God, you know, at the last minute or something like that. You know, we all have a time. We all have a time. And, you know, you can go through life and certain things you will never be aware of again. You will make your decisions and you will never be aware again that you made that decision, and that will be the choice you've made. But if you're at a place in your life where you're still thinking about these things, then obviously you can still think about these things and make these decisions. But back to where I started here quite a while ago, we all have a limited amount of time, and we don't know when tomorrow ends. I've lived a long time. I've lived a good long time. I'm happy for the life I have. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for me. And I fear God because I want to keep teaching and preaching and doing what I'm doing with my podcasts and my, you know, my writings. That's what I'm accountable for. I have a lifetime of learning and I want to pass that on to others. My children first and everybody else second. So contemplate these things. We all need to contemplate. I need to contemplate them. Christian that I am, I need to contemplate these things. And say to myself, where am I in relationship to the big day, to the judgment day? Have I finished the race? Have I followed the course? Have I done what he's called me to do? No, I haven't. I haven't finished. So that's why I'm hoping I live for a while longer to keep doing what I need to be doing. For those of you that are wondering, hey, man, you're asking the right questions. The fact that you're listening to this is good news. Think about these things. Think about these things. Ask these questions. Go ask your maker. God, where am I at? What's going on? Am I right with you? And it's humbling intellectually to ask those questions if you ask them in seriousness, because basically what you're acknowledging is that he is your maker and that you are accountable for him on that final day. Okay, back. So 90% or better of your judgment day, you already know what you're supposed to do. You already know it's built into the human being, what they're going to be judged on, that they're going to be judged, and how to prepare for the judgment day. If you do what you're supposed to do, you will be well prepared for the judgment day. You will not be surprised. You will not be shocked and say, oh God, I had no idea I was not supposed to be selfish. You're born, you grow up, hopefully you've had either good parents or you know how good parents probably should act. You get married, you raise a bunch of kids, and that little 13, 14-year-old boy, 15, 17-year-old, 22-year-old boy matures a lot as you go through life and you raise a family. You change when you get married and have a bunch of kids. You change. You become selfless. And if you don't, it will crush you. So God has already designed life such that you will be prepared for the judgment day. Now, beyond that, yeah, everybody has a different set of gifts and talents and callings. I'm not going to be judged on whether or not I was a great NBA basketball player. It's not in the genes, not in the genetics. I will be judged for speaking or not speaking the truth, because I know more than the average person, and I'm vastly more educated than the average person. So I will be called to account on the judgment day for what I teach and what I don't teach, where I open up my mouth and where I don't open up my mouth. The guy with an IQ of, 69 probably isn't going to be. Here and there, sure, because we're all responsible for every word we speak. We are responsible. Every one of us, you and I, are responsible for every utterance, every word that we speak, every intention of the heart, and those will all be judged. But different people have different gifts and callings. Everybody will be judged on integrity. Everybody will be judged on, were you honest? Did you live a selfless life? Did you lay your life down for others? The judgment day is not a mystery. And that there's going to be a judgment day is not a mystery. So that's all there. It's not as complicated or mysterious as it sounds. And it should be welcomed. Because life on the other side will be better than life on this side, if you're right with God. Fritz Berggren, Blood and Faith, 24th of September, 2020. See you soon.